Hello. Good morning, everyone. I was personally very much encouraged and blown away by your story about Elaine. It's an amazing thing, and I just am so thankful. I'm sure you're the same. The other thing from the start of the service which blew me away was the fact that I can get a new Ferrari. And I'm so confident I'm just going to walk home, leave my old car here. There's probably a sermon in that, is there? Yeah. This morning we're going to look at a passage in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 43. Just to really annoy you though, we're going to look at a passage before that. So be prepared to go to Isaiah 43, but we will be looking at a passage in Genesis first. So just hold fire, just have a Bible ready. But before we go any further, I would be very grateful if you could join with me in praying that the word that we look at today is made alive in our hearts, that we are all transformed through God's word. This morning when we were preparing for the service and we were praying, it was constantly coming up about standing on the shore of a river. And all of us, you know, are in that place of the things in our lives that need to be dealt with and issues that need to be resolved, and they are metaphorically the river. And God is asking us to have the courage and the faith to walk through the river and go to the other side. Because God is good and his love endures forever. So if you can please join with me and we'll ask for God's blessing on this. And we thank you, God, that we are known to you by name and loved by you from all eternity. We thank you, Jesus Christ, who has opened the way to us, the way of love. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we ask you to bring alive today your word, that it would be an arrow to our hearts, that we would walk out here transformed in your likeness, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Amen. Have you ever considered what's in a name? Have you ever considered the importance of a name? It's been on my mind recently since we had our youngest daughter christened, and the whole idea of names has been on my mind ever since. And I'm somewhat sort of embarrassed the fact that I only looked up the meaning of my two daughters' names after we named them, and so therefore it's sort of somewhat in reverse. But my eldest daughter Rebecca, her name means to bind. I'm not quite sure what that means. And then my youngest daughter is called Amelia, and her name means industrious. Again, I don't know what that means, but I had expected both to be a little bit more romantic. And I have this vision when you put the two of them together of them both working in a very, very hard-working printing factory later on in life. So we wait to see, but it probably is too early to find out whether their personalities match their name. Most of you will certainly be able to say for sure that my personality matches the meaning of my name. And all of you know that my name, Graham, means gravel area. Which is even more exciting. The other meaning for my name is Grey Homestead. So it's equally as exciting. I often think of my surname, though, Jones, and the fact that my family have been for years now in the business of butchery or victuallers, to make it more posh. It doesn't make it any more posh. But I'm always amazed that, you know, our family have been in the business for years. Our name is Jones, and I wonder, was there ever a time when it was Bones? During the Olympics, you probably came across a guy who is now the fastest man in the world. He is on record as being the fastest man in the world. There's no one that'll match him. And his surname is Bolt. So again, there's a lot in the name. How about two guys from the Bible? two very, very well-known guys from the Bible. Names that we're familiar with, I'm sure. Even if you haven't been brought up in a Christian faith, I'm sure the names are still somewhat familiar because they are so famous. The first one of those guys is Saul. Saul is a very, very famous guy, known mostly for his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus, where he met Jesus in a very, very powerful way. And his name was changed to Paul. So there's something very significant in that his name was changed from Saul to Paul. And it's very interesting to note that Saul means prayed for. And it's just lovely to know that somebody was praying for Saul in his decision to accept Jesus as a Savior, allowing his character to be changed and him to be a new creation with the name Paul. The other guy that jumps out as a very well-known character in this area is Jacob. Jacob is well-known to us all. And Jacob had his name changed during the course of biblical history. And it's interesting to note that they are two very distinct names, or sorry, meanings, the name Jacob and his new name, which was Israel. Jacob, though, was a man. A man, while he was called Jacob, he was a man of deceit. And that's a very important point to know, that Jacob was a man of deceit. And his name means one to grasp at the heel. And it's not a nice meaning. And it goes on then, there are further meanings. One is deceiver and one is supplanter. So to take the place of another using force or scheme. So we know the story of Jacob, or you may not know the story of Jacob, but he is a man that tricked his father in giving him the inheritance that was rightly to be given to his elder brother. So he tricked his father and he deceived his brother. So Jacob is a man of deceit and trickery, one that relies on his own strength and his own scheming. His name was changed to Israel. And the definition of Israel, when it's used for him as a man, is one that struggles with God. One that struggles with God. But the definition of Israel as a nation is wisdom from God or strength of God. So there's something very interesting in the change in the name from Jacob to Israel, where it's one going from a man of deceit to one relying on God's strength. And it's there I'd like to start. If we could turn, please, to Genesis 32, verses 24 to 29, which is page 36 of the red Bibles in front of you. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched, and he was wrestled as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." The man that Jacob wrestled with was God. Jacob wrestled with God. Jacob was a man of deceit. A man who had tricked his father and deceived his brother. The thing that jumps out at me most is the question that he has asked. "What is your name?" And his answer is not just a straightforward reply as would appear on first reading. It is actually a confession. "My name is Jacob. I am a deceiver. I have lived a life of deceit." His reply is a confession. The second thing that jumps out at me very strongly is the fact that he would not let God go until God blessed him. He would not let the wrestling match finish until such time as he was blessed. So perhaps for the first time in Jacob's life, he may have acknowledged God as a source of blessing. So these two things that have happened in Jacob's life had allowed him go through a transformation of his character, resulting in a name change from Jacob to Israel. From one who relied on his own strength and his own cunningness and scheme to one that relied on God's strength and God's wisdom. It is that interests me. That transition from Jacob to Israel, looking specifically at the confession and the acknowledgement of God as blessing. God is the source of all blessing. The question for us today as we look at this and we examine our own lives is, do we acknowledge that? Do we acknowledge God as a source of all blessing? Do we rely on our own strength? Are we a people of confession? Is confession a natural default in my character? If I can ask Zoe, please, to come up. She's going to read Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 13 with us. So if you want to move, please, to page 728. I'm going to get you a microphone now.
Okay. So it's Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 13. It's on page 728. Israel's only Savior. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give you Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of them foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I, and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it?
This is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. There's a transition in Jacob's character where he goes from a man who relies on his own strength to a man who receives God's blessing and lives out God's wisdom. It's the transition, as I said, from Jacob to Israel that is really of interest to me today. To see a man who can go from one who relies on his own strength and his own cunningness, which will only ever result in an earthly inheritance, to a man of one who relies on God's strength and God's wisdom, where he can receive a heavenly blessing. I stand before you as a man who has constantly relied on his own strength to my own detriment. And I know for sure that all there is ever in that is an earthly inheritance. It's an empty goal. There is nothing of substance there. It's glitter and it's not gold. What I'm trying to do is to be a man who relies on God's strength through a place of confession and surrender so that I can receive a heavenly blessing, not of material wealth, but of peace that transcends all understanding. I'm interested in my character, one that can be transformed into a man called Israel, and not to be reliant on a man like Jacob. There is a very, very deliberate use of words in Isaiah 43, verse 1, where it's very specifically used, mentioned, that Jacob is created. He who created you, O Jacob. And then the very deliberate use of the word formed. He who formed you, O Israel. The emphasis here is on the fact that we have all been physically created. But only some of us allow ourselves to be formed. There is a very deliberate use of the word created versus the word formed. Jacob was created in God's image, like all of us. But Israel was the man who allowed himself and was open to be formed. Every single one of us is created by God, even if we deny it. There is truth in that. Every single one of us is called into a relationship with God, our Creator. But unfortunately, not everyone hears that call. What I have on my heart today to share, which is very strong, and I hope it's an encouragement, is a phrase that has been used, that has been going on in my mind for a long time since preparing for this talk. And if you can take it away and use it in your lives, I really hope that it stands to you. Is that we are created by design. God has intended us to be created, but we are formed by our choice. We are created. That cannot be changed. We are created. It's done. It's over. We're created. It's now going forward. What can matter? It's our character that can be transformed. It's our character that God wants to transform. So therefore, we are transformed by choice. So created by design, formed by choice. I have had a couple of moments in my life in this church that have really changed me. And I wanted to share these stories as by way of encouragement and also to emphasize the power of prayer and the power of standing beside someone in prayer and also the physical act of coming from your seat up to here as a place of receiving prayer. That physical walk, that stepping out, is one that has always stood to me. And there are two occasions when it really has. One, when I was only first dabbling in this whole area of becoming a Christian and really coming in because Rob put me under pressure. And also, as I shared before, because I was chasing a girl who's now my wife. But I came all the same, and I was being, and something was going on, and eventually over time the penny dropped and I found myself standing here beside Rob. He turned to me and he said, "What are you doing here?" So that wasn't very encouraging. But then Rob decided to pray for me, and he was praying, and it was all very helpful. But it was only until someone else joined us and put his hand on my shoulder and said, "God, make him the man you intended him to be." So I'm still the same. I look the same. I was created by God, but something shifted in me that night where all of a sudden I was open to receiving God's work in my life. And therefore God was in a place to be able to work in my life and form me into the man that he intended me to be. Second story is then 7 years later, only about a month ago or 2 months ago, standing in this church again, where I was in a place of dryness, not understanding why I couldn't hear from God, a place of feeling very empty and alone. And standing there, a man, all I knew was that I had to be prayed for. Someone just had to pray for me. That was all I knew, which I'm very thankful for. And during the time of being prayed for, I was standing there in stubborn denial of what really had to happen. And what really had to happen was confession and surrender. And the guy, fair play to him, Philip Larrigy, he was praying for me and he just turned around and he said, "Would you just get on your knees?" He stopped praying and said, "Just get on your knees." The moment I went on my knees, God's blessing. Because my pride was stopping me from receiving the blessing that God had for me. The Creator had a blessing for me that night. And I, in my stupidity, would not allow it flow because of my pride. And I thank God for people like Philip who have the courage to step out and to speak those words into our lives. We are created by design, but we are formed by choice. That evening I had a choice. And I walked away knowing that I will receive more if my heart is one of surrender. It is my choice to surrender to God that allows Him work in my life to form my character. The intention of creation is to glorify God, but the extent of that glorification depends on our choices. We can only glorify God if our choices allow that happen. Allow Him to work in our lives where He can shape and form us. It is an openness to God to surrender that allows Him work on our character. In a physical act of kneeling, we display adoration, praise, and thanksgiving for our Creator. It is the physical act of kneeling that we hand ourselves over to our King and say, "This life is yours. Do with it as you will." It is the physical act of kneeling that reflects what's going on in my heart. It is the softening of my heart that will allow God to work in my life. But for me, in that dynamic, I receive and enjoy His blessing. That is the dynamic. I surrender, He blesses. And that is what God has asked me to encourage you with this morning. For me, it's interesting that the distance between my head and my heart is more or less the same distance as my knee to the ground. It's in the physical act of kneeling that we surrender and allow God work in our lives. It is at that place that all of a sudden I can once again hear from God. I receive an ability to hear from God through my surrender. I can hear the words, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." It is the physical act of kneeling in surrender that allows me to hear the words, "When you pass through waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze." And that is God's blessing. That is what is in store for me in a place of surrender that allows me to hear those words God speaks in my life. Why then can I not hear at times? When we act in a way or when we act in a certain manner, we can create a barrier between ourselves and our Creator. Through those actions or those omissions in our life, we can live out our lives listening but not hearing. We can live out our lives seeing but never perceiving. We can live out our lives experiencing but never understanding. In John 8, verse 47, it says, "The reason you do not hear is because you do not belong to God." It doesn't change the fact that we were all created by God and we're called to God, but we can create a barrier between ourselves and God through our actions or through our omissions. This is a place then of not being able to hear because of the barrier. In Matthew 13, verse 13 and 15, I'll read it out to you. Jesus is quoting Isaiah. So Jesus is quoting himself as God. He's quoting the commission that Isaiah was given. And Jesus says in that verse, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. And I would heal them." Jesus is in the business of healing. Jesus is in the business of restoration. We are in the business of surrender. And we are in the business of confession. God had a new name for Jacob and Israel. But those new names were only revealed to those two men when their hearts were right before God. It was a heart of confession and a heart of humility. And through that obedient response of those two men, they received God's blessing. And their characters were renewed afresh that day. And this is a process that I am struggling with. I will continue to struggle with. But I'm willing to try. And I know the starting point is humility and confession. We are called to live as God's people, but as the way God intended it to be. We are called to live as a people called by his name. In Acts 3, verse 19 and 20, it says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been seen, who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." A time of refreshing may come from the Lord. And this morning, for a lot of us, we stand on the edge of a river. We stand on the edge of a river that doesn't look like we can cross it, but we can. We've been given the authority to ask for this. But we have a choice in our humble response to confess. And this is where I struggle, and I stand before you as a man who continually struggles with this. But as I say, I know the starting point. So perhaps we can leave an opening now for us to respond to this. There is a ministry team here this morning that is willing to pray for any of us who want prayer for anything, if it's something that touched you today in the talk or just anything. So perhaps maybe we can have the band come up, and would be great. And maybe the song, "Let Your Glory Fall." Would that be the one? Yeah. But if we can just have an opportunity just of silence before then, just to see, really ask the Lord to minister to our hearts and to allow us just to respond to that.